The Defense Information Systems Agency's Cyber Defense Headquarters says it's been involved in 7 named operations since its establishment back in January. Now the Joint Force DODIN is taking some of the operational pressure off of U.S. Cyber Command. Federal News Radio's reporter Scott Massioni tells Francis Rose more about DODIN and why its involvement in 7 operations matters.
This Joint Force Headquarters has been initial operating capability starting in January. That level gives Joint Force DODIN between 14 and 19 tasks from Cybercom. The headquarters is going to assume full operations sometime in 2016. Now, they've done these 7 named operations, and when the military names something, it's a big deal. At that point, it becomes sort of a program of record, and the threat that U.S. is facing is actually something that they're ready to acknowledge. If you think back to when the United States started its air attacks against the Islamic State, it took them actually 4 months before they actually named it Inherent Resolve. So this name's a big deal. What's really interesting is that Joint Force DODIN has had 1 named operation per month since it started. That means DIS is staying very engaged and defending U.S. cyberspace that there's just a lot of threats out there to defend against. DISA Director Lieutenant General Allen noted this during a speech at the Defense Systems face-to-face DOD event.
Bob Skinner is my deputy for the Joint Force Headquarters DODIN. He's Brigadier General Air Force. Great guy, a lot of cyber experience. But I'll tell you, we're IOC. We're in the initial operating capabilities for the Joint Force Headquarters DODIN. It just stood up on the 15th of January. So you would think, you know, we're just kind of building it as we're flying it, and you would think it would be a slow process. We heard Dave DeVries say on that one question, you know, we're in the fight now. We are absolutely in the fight now. So you remember, you've heard of Target, you've heard of OPM, you've heard of all these different hits. Well, I'll tell you, the first 3 weeks in command, I had my Joint Force Headquarters DODIN hat on because I was fighting a fight in cyberspace.
Now, we know that cyberspace has been really busy. The U.S. government's constantly being attacked by crime syndicates, foreign countries, and private hackers. Even private companies are also getting a wake-up call when it comes to cybersecurity. You heard Lynn mention Target and Sony. So hearing that DIS's cyber force is this active is a warning sign to everyone, really, that cybersecurity and cyber attacks are a big part of the future. DOD's Deputy Chief Information Officer David DeVries said earlier at the event that we're witnessing that moment where everyone's realizing the internet isn't as safe as it used to be.
Sony event changed things. The Target event changed things. How many more events do we need to help keep changing things? That's why I keep going. This is about us facing common things here. The banking industry was very secure in running their own networks and connecting their brick buildings together by their own network. Now they're getting into, that's not as secure as I thought it was. I need to go into more of the IP base, and I need to get the security side of the house going there. You're seeing that across the board. I think what's changed a little bit, or what's now coming to the forefront, is just the size and complexity of this little thing called the internet and what it really means. And we're also coming to grips with is the internet was never designed to be secure. So now if I'm worried about my information, how do I secure my information, but yet how do I meet all these other demands on the sovereignty of each nation and how their views are on what data sits inside their boundary lines and who owns that data? How can I protect it? And or to protect my own national sovereignty and security, how do I know what's going through my boundary lines? So if you're doing nefarious things there, I'm going to stop it or help stop it. So all those things are in play here. And I don't think there's a clear-cut answer there.
DOD's read this message loud and clear. It's been investing heavily in cyber. The Defense Innovation Initiative was created in 2014 to sustain U.S. technological superiority. There's this long-range research plan that's investing in innovative technologies. And Defense Secretary Ash Carter already said he's making plans to invest in cyber for fiscal year 2017. DOD's also setting up its cyber mission forces. This is something that was set up in DOD's cyber strategy. And cyber mission forces are a group of 133 teams tasked with defending U.S. cyber against attacks, defending networks, supporting missions. And the cyber forces also has a combat mission as well, so they may engage in cyber offensive forces.
DOD's also been making some hardware and software changes to protect against cyber attacks. What are they doing there?
DoD's setting up what are called joint security sacks. These are suites of equipment that join military base routers and reduce points where hackers can access DoD networks. They also provide firewall functions to manage enterprise systems and perform routing and forwarding functions. Right now, there's a fully operational one in San Antonio, Texas, and in total, there will be 25 JRS hubs worldwide. 11 of them will be in the United States. DISA plans to make 4 of these operational by December. Lynn said making everything joint for cyber has been a little unnerving for DoD and the services.
And we're learning a lot of really great lessons. The military departments are a little bit uncomfortable with it because we're sharing a router stack in there. And DISA is a little bit uncomfortable with it because we're sharing that router stack with the military departments. So we think we've got it about right. Everybody's a little bit uncomfortable, okay? Really. Because it's the first time we've been truly, truly joint like this. So it's really kind of exciting. We're the first foray into this kind of push and pull, how this is going to operate, was down in San Antonio. Did a lot of different work groups to figure out how we were going to do this, how we were going to share, how we were going to operate this new joint capability. And so we think we've got it about right, so we're ready to proliferate the capability. The really neat thing about it is now the Army, for example, is saving a whole lot of money because they were the first ones to really have a lot of post-cancer stations that are invested in this, and they're starting to take down their TLA stacks. So the TLA stacks were the old way of how we protected the networks. There were so many of them. If anybody got the firewall wrong, then traffic didn't pass. So this is a huge, big front effort that we've got in DoD.
Lynn says there's a lot of opportunity for industry in these joint migration teams for JRSS. Basically, every base has these posts with cyber components that need to be migrated to JRSS, and DoD needs their help in doing it. So Lynn says the service migration teams will also be expanding soon. That's just for the military services, and it's going to need help as well. What's really high tech about these JRSS stacks is that they can see cyber attacks in real time. DoD is trying to use data analytics to harness the real-time data so it can get further insights. So Joint Force Doden and Cybercom will be using that information. Lynn explained more on that.
So now imagine everything censored that now feeds to the command and control organization, the operational arm, if you will, of Cyber Command, that now can see the network on a real-time basis. We're just starting some of the analytics pieces for that to provide that capability, but there's an opportunity to grow in the analytics space for that.
JRSS is one of the building blocks for the joint information environment, and that securely connects DoD networks, and it's going to be a big deal going into the future.